Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All I'll say for the Giant fans out there, or for the spirit of that phone call, which is how will John Mara feel if this is the case, thank God it's in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if that was at MetLife Stadium, that would have been cruel.
Right.
If week 18, his return game was breaking the single season rushing record, I mean, that would almost be unfair. So luckily, it being in Philadelphia is a lot easier. I had a friend of mine text me. I don't even know if this is true. He said that Sean is claiming he's going to Philly for the game.
I'd like to. If it means we're going to lock up the first pick, I'd love to.
Is that true? A buddy of mine just texted me that and said, you're planning on going to Philly for week 18?
I would love to go for week 18. It's the only time I can't get beat up by Eagle fans because I might be with them.
Well, you'd go to Philly to root for the Eagles?
I won't openly root. I'll go there in a blue Giants Barkley jersey. I'll sit there quietly. And then
that's cute. He goes there with a Barkley jersey.
And I can sit there and not root or anything. And then at the end of the day, walk out and go, thank you. Now we're your daddy for the next 10 years with Sanders Award.
You ever see Road to Perdition, Sean? You walk out that door, you walk out alone. Don't expect me to go. You almost got Tiki killed last time he went to Philadelphia.
Coming.
We're not going with you, pal.
You're
that's
coming.
Your no, that's your
you're
battle.
You're coming. Spinning Live, the whole deal, Lugie.
Sean, I would have had a very different answer to you 1 year ago. But I'm a more experienced man.
Oh, here we go.
I went to a Mets-Phillies playoff game.
Oh, yeah. Hold on. Well,
And I went with my 8-year-old. And I went with my wife. And after that experience, what I would tell you, Sean, because I do love you.
Uh-huh.
I do.
Yeah.
I love you, Sean.
Are you looking for me to say it back?
No, you don't have to say it back. I'm telling you, I feel good about
it. Now
you.
I feel like I have to say it back.
No, you don't have to. Do you want to say it back?
I love you too, Evan.
Thank you, Sean. I cannot let you go to Philadelphia for that game.
So
I can't do it.
Come with.
No, I'm not going.
We'll bring
with.
Your son too.
No, no way.
You can't do that.
No way.
Can't do that.
I am going to give you some friendly advice. Do not go to Philadelphia for Week 18 Giants Eagles in any kind of Giant jersey. I don't care if it says Barkley or not.
I'm going to paint my face blue, wear the sunglasses. The whole thing.
Oh my gosh, he's going to be dead.
You walk out alone. You walk out that door.
We're going to hear a story. That's for sure. Let's go to Jimmy in Saratoga. How are you, Jimmy?
Good. How are you guys? I was just calling about the Jets situation with Aaron Rodgers and being a bridge quarterback. I think the best bridge option right now could be Sam Darnold at the end of the year. What do you guys think about that?
The reason I don't think it's a good option is I think Sam's going to get paid, Tiki.
Mm-hmm. I agree. He's worked his way. He's making $10 million this year. And so he's worked his way probably into a, it's probably just short of what Baker's making. So a little under 30, mm-hmm. something like that. Around $30 million a year, which sounds like a lot of money, but it's actually cheap for a starting quarterback. So the question is going to be, who's desperate enough to give him starting money and not draft? So it's going to be a bad team that's not in draft position. That's the team that's going to sign, meaning draft position of the top two guys.
Right.
That's who's going to sign Sam Darnold. And it could be anybody. Who knows who that
is? It could be anybody.
Right.
Or it could just be simply a coach that believes in him, that says,
yeah.
Like maybe Brian Daboll does. I have no idea. Maybe Daboll's like, I love Sam. Mm-hmm. No, let's bring him in.
Right.
But I don't think he's going to be signing one of those 1-year deals. Like Tyrod Taylor signed a very reasonable 2-year contract with the Jets. I think he's due to make about, off the top of my head, I'd say about $8.5 million next year. Very
yeah.
reasonable number for a backup quarterback. You already have a guy like that under contract.
Yeah.
And you're not getting Sam Darnold for that.
Right. I think a lot of it will depend on what happens to a team like the Rams. Like, if the Rams fall apart and Matt Stafford's, mm-hmm. It's not there anymore. They could be one of those teams. Because they're good, but they're not good enough.
Yeah.
But they're not also bad. So they just need a younger quarterback. But there's not a ton of those teams, though.
Yeah, you know, I would put this scenario out
New
on
Orleans,
Sam.
Maybe?
Maybe. I give you this Jet scenario on Sam Darnold. The guy I want to have as the head coach of this team, the guy I've already full-throttled endorsed, is Brian Flores.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know Brian works on the other side of the ball, but is it possible that Brian Flores comes here and part of his vision is, I can win with Sam? I like Sam.
Yeah.
I want Sam to be my guy, not as a bridge, but that's my quarterback for the next couple of years.
And he's still young.
And he's still reasonably young. So I don't think he's a bridge guy. I think he's the guy if you believe in him.
Yeah. He's what Baker Mayfield became for the Buccaneers.
Absolutely. And what do we say about Baker now?
Yeah.
When he's not doing the Tommy DeVito dance inside the Giant end zone because he's mocking you all. Now, speaking of the Giants, after the game on Sunday, besides the horrible performance, besides the way it looked, one of the things that came out of that game was some of the words that were used after the game. A lot of players called them soft, the performance very soft, including Dexter Lawrence, who I know Sean was very critical of when he did his podcast, One Giant Step. Kind of blamed Dexter Lawrence for the tone he had around Daniel Jones and all of that. But he was one of the guys after the game that said, hey, we were very soft in the way we played.
Right.
Today he met the media and listened to his, I guess,
re-explanation
and refocus of his soft comments.
Well, about the soft thing, I think you guys need to be held accountable for how you put it out there. I didn't say we are soft as a team. I think I said we played that way. We lost 30-7. That's not okay. We're in the NFL. So y'all to put the message out that way is not okay as well, and should be held accountable for that. But I think, like I said, we came out today with good energy. We came out today, embracing this moment that we have, and that we get to go play on Thanksgiving. So we're excited about that.
I don't know how you feel about this, but I did not get the impression that the media twisted his words. I think they were explained pretty accurately, which is we played softly. Like SNY, we'll be on SNY in 10 minutes. Their headline was Dexter Lawrence extremely angry about Giants soft play in 6th straight loss. I think that's very accurate to what Dexter said, so right. I don't know what he's lecturing the media about.
Yeah, I think it's because it gets twisted. Anytime you say something like that, it's going to get twisted in some capacity to say we're a soft team or certain players are soft. And then you start questioning, well, who's he talking about? Right? Is he talking about guys on this side of the ball? Is he talking about the other side of the ball? Who are they talking about?
Right.
And that's when it becomes dicey.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, though, after that game and he said those words, what did every one of these writers go with? Dable and Shane are out. The locker room's lost. Their leader's calling him soft. So I think that's what he's referring to. It's one thing to say they jumped three steps with that, and that's all the articles were Monday. So I actually appreciate Dex. You know, I kind of wasn't happy with his Daniel Jones stuff last week, but this is stepping up and going, I said what I said.
Right.
But
I didn't say that the locker room hates Dave's.
Right, and we're soft as a result of the head coach. We played soft, we lost 30-7.
I kind of disagree, though, because I thought what he said was, we played soft, which is accurate, and then people took them playing softly as an indictment of the head coach. Fair or not, by the way. It's not even re-arguing that.
Yeah.
It's that I don't think his comments were misconstrued. He said they played softly.
Yes.
He didn't say the whole team's been soft forever.
But
no, I don't think anyone took it that way.
But
they
again,
played softly.
Again, this goes back to, because I even took it this way, and I'm guilty of this too. Dexter Lawrence had a week long of comments. His comments about Daniel Jones, I wasn't the only one that brought it up. Dable got hammered in his post-game press conference about everything that Dexter Lawrence was saying. And I think that Dexter Lawrence was using that soft moment more so to address the whole week of comments he made and where the media, I think, took it a step too far.
I don't know if this is an accurate description, Tiki, but I'll tell you what I love about what Dexter did, even if I disagree with him, because I can disagree with his words.
Right.
But here's what I love about his overall vision of what he did. I think he turned the attention and turned kind of the blame game to the media. Right or wrong, it doesn't even matter to me.
Right.
He turned it away from we played soft to, hey, you sons of bees.
Stop calling us soft.
Stop. Right. I think that's brilliant.
Right.
And I think the coach may have played a role in it. And here's my evidence that that was the case. Malik Nabers, after the game, was very critical. He also said the team played softly and was very critical about, you know, not getting the ball until they were down 30-0. Here's what Malik Nabers had to say today. Again, I think a very different tone from Malik.
Yeah, after watching the film, I wish I would have used different words to describe the game afterwards. I don't think it was really soft. I think it was just a lack of technique. We was playing our butts off. We just lacked technique. Did a lot of things that just wasn't us as offense. At practice, you know, we had great days at practice. Got into the game, just didn't do the things that we did at practice. So when you don't go out and do the things that you do at practice, you know, you come out a little short in the game.
That's a very different tone. Yeah. I think the coach was able to get to his young star wide receiver and his lead captain and say, all right, guys, I'm taking the locker room back. You're going to go out there and you're going to say the right things. I think that's a very good sign that you may be right, that Sunday's game may be a hiccup in losing the locker room. Now, it'll all be proven by the play on Thursday, but I think that was a very different tone coming out of Neighbors and Dexter Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the coach.
Of course it is. I think Coach Dabes reached out to those guys and said, look, this is what actually was going on. So I know what you said in emotion, and it's easy to get caught up in emotional moments after getting your butts kicked the way that you did.
Mm.
Let's walk these back. And that's exactly what they did. So who do you believe now?
Well, here's the way I look at it.
That's the question.
I would say, okay, touche. Mm-hmm. Touche, Coach Dable. Touche. You got your guy saying all the right things.
And by the way, that tells you that he hasn't lost the locker room.
That is a sign that he's not lost the locker room. That's a point for him. With that said, now they got to go out and kick ass on Thursday.
Right.
That's all fine and dandy.
No, they don't.
With a focused week.
Yeah.
Well, they just have to play better.
They've got
to
play better.
Not kick ass.
What do you mean not kick ass? You don't want them to kick ass?
If I want them to, but you're saying they have to. They can win 9-6 okay. And just look better.
If we are judging them on the bar of that looked like a team that quit, mm-hmm. which was my tone to you on Monday,
right.
Then yes, they just have to go out there and care, and it would change the perception that the coach lost the locker room.
Right. Right.
What a bar we now have.
Well, I mean, it's just it's the reality of a team that's had a lot of turmoil over the last 10 days. Right. And, well, they have good players. They're not fully good yet. And so you just got to play well. And good thing, give yourself a chance.
Don't miss.
The challenge is they haven't given themselves a chance in a lot of these games.